Our first reading today comes from 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 30. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In the Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascus guarded in order to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hands. I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. He heard inexpressible things, things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so that no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. To keep me from being conceited because of the surprisingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power might rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of God. Our gospel reading today comes from Luke chapter 9. Starting at verse 46. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and made him stand beside them. Then he said to them, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he who is the least among you, he is the greatest."
Today, the 10:30 service will be very special, as the whole congregation is going to walk from here to actually Como. Please feel free to join us in the rain, especially. I hope you are all aware that this is not a spring outing or picnic, except we will stop at Moore Reserve, which is halfway down the track, for morning tea. It is not a bushwalking either, that you may get some exercise. Although we figured that the distance would be about 5 kilometers, which is indeed a long way to walk. No, today we're going to do this in order to remind ourselves of what the essential thing for being Christians is, and of what a church in Jesus truly means. Well, let's look at today's passage first. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30, "If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." That is, Paul doesn't want to tell the Corinthians about the knowledge or power that comes from being an apostle. Instead, he wants to tell them about his weaknesses. He actually uses the word boasting. "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses," chapter 12, verse 9, as if he is proud of his own weaknesses. In chapter 11, verse 32, he tells the Corinthians about how he fled from an arrest. He had been a coward in that occasion, and if I were him, I would never tell anyone that. And Corinthian Christians were proud of their social status and wealth. They thought that Christianity was about being better than others. As we have often seen in every culture, no matter in Chinese culture or any culture, in every culture, it is our achievements, skills, and merits that people like to boast about. Surely from a worldly perspective, it is not wrong for Paul to describe some of the wonderful miracles he has performed. And surely we would love hearing that. In the beginning of chapter 12, Paul reveals a little bit about how God took him to heaven. But he skims through that story. And obviously, he doesn't want to go on with that subject by giving the full details. In fact, he is even reluctant to claim that it actually happened to him. So he speaks indirectly. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was called up to the third heaven. Well, everyone knows that this man is Paul himself, but he refuses to talk more about it. Based on his experiences, he could have written a book entitled Adventures of Paul the Apostle, or that would definitely be the number one best-selling non-fiction title that year, for sure. But Paul is not interested in talking about it. He prefers to tell everyone what a coward he was. Then in verse 7, he reveals that he has a thorn in his flesh. What is the thorn in flesh? Well, some scholars suggest that Paul stammered, or that he suffered from stage fright. We don't know exactly what his thorn in flesh was. But the point is, no matter what his thorn in flesh was, it was a weakness that he had been suffering from. Why does Paul prefer boasting about his weaknesses? Because he wants his fellow Christians to know that he is just like them and like us. He shares with them his weaknesses, fears, and concerns, and hopes that they will also share with him their weaknesses and concerns. Why? Because we are all of the body of Christ. Therefore, we stand with each other. Today, we are walking to water to support Christians in Nigeria. By this simple gesture of walking, we are tasting the bitterness of a Nigerian Christian's daily life. They have to walk many miles each day in order to gain fresh water. You know, there's a Chinese saying, it is good to know someone's misery and contrast it with your happiness. But that is not what we are doing today. We are not setting ourselves above the Nigerians. Well, it has been popular for people, especially from first world countries, to travel to poor countries, take some photos, and post them on Facebook or Instagram as a kind of showing off. I have seen another part of the world, and I am thankful I don't live there. We are not going to feel good about ourselves and look down to people in Nigeria. Hey, we are so much better, and they need our help there. A friend of mine told me that he had really enjoyed his trip to Tibet, and he didn't mind the harsh weather and the bad food. He gave generously to the local people. He distributed chocolates to kids he met on the roadside. He allowed the kids to play with his expensive camera. At one point, he was even ready to take off his own sneakers and gave them to a teenager who was too poor to own a pair of proper shoes. Of course, I don't mean to downplay his good heart. But it is interesting that when I asked him what actually prompted him to be so generous, he answered, well, I am a rich tourist, right? And he knew he was not one of the Tibetans. He knew he didn't belong there. And eventually he would leave Tibet. He pitied them. All he wanted to do was to experience Tibet as an outsider and help if he could. If this is how we are supposed to see ourselves, when we are on a mission, like today's walking, Are we simply outsiders trying to help from a distance? I don't think so. So why did Jesus come to us as a human? Did he pity us? Did he just want to come down and feel what it is like to be a human? Did Jesus simply want to compare our earthly life with his heavenly life so he could enjoy being God more? No. He wanted to share in our human weakness so he could redeem us completely. That's why he came to become one of us. But dying for us, he revealed that he personally and deeply knows our weaknesses, and most importantly, he has fully embraced them. And so, as the head of the church, he gathers us together with the brothers and sisters from every land. We are one body in Christ. The light of Jesus has shone into the darkness and overcome the evil and divisions among us. We are his family. That's why Paul says that Jesus' grace is sufficient for us. For his power is made perfect in our weakness. We are weak together. We are not walking for the Nigerian church. We are walking with the Nigerian church. And we are bound together by the cross, a sign of weakness. You might remember that in one of the video clips we have watched during this mission month, a Nigerian Christian lady said, "Don't take pity on us, but pray with us." He didn't even say, "Pray for us," but "Pray with us." Well, I know possibly some of you are not planning to walk with the 10:30 congregation, but you will still be sharing with their mission today by supporting them and more importantly by praying with them, because we are all share with Nigerian Christians their struggles and difficulties. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 25 to 26, there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Of course, walking is just a gesture. It is just a gesture. But it is a good one, because it is a gesture of boasting about ourselves. Not about ourselves, about boasting about our weakness. Not only are the Nigerian Christians weak, but we share the same weakness. It is a gesture of unity of Christ's universal church. It is a gesture of standing with the brothers and the sisters in Nigeria. It is a gesture of bearing witness to Jesus who has overcome the darkness. It is a gesture of proclaiming what Paul proclaims. Jesus' grace is sufficient for us, for his power is made perfect in weakness. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.